Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you on this very sunny Sunday morning, and lovely to see you here at our Connect service. As we begin our service together, you've had a chance to look at some of the notices that have been up on the wall. Everything is running pretty much as usual this week. Just to remind you that on Sunday, next Sunday, 9 a.m. Holy Communion, 11 a.m. Holy Communion, and 7 p.m. evening prayer. And you're all very, very welcome to those services. Our theme this morning is oneness, and it's very fitting that it's Trinity Sunday. Trinity Sunday is when we celebrate the fact that God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. And today we're going to be thinking about us being one, just as God is one. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, to praise you, to receive your word, to be honest with you about times when we have wandered from your path. And we come to you to pray for the world and for ourselves, that we may be used by you to connect this community into relationship with Christ. Amen. Let's stand and sing together, "What a Beautiful Name It Is."
God the Lord Most High,
Please take your seats. One of the things it's good to do on Sunday morning, or any morning for that matter, is to be honest to God. We know that there are things that we do are good, there are things that we do that we wish we hadn't done, and sometimes we sweep them under the carpet. And that can be quite stressful sometimes, but with God we don't have to do that. We can be open and we can be honest. John writes, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's be open to our living Heavenly Father in confession. Our God, O God, our loving Father in heaven, we confess that we have sinned against you. We have broken your commandments. We have often been selfish, and we have not loved you as we should. For these and all our sins, forgive us, we pray, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse you from your sins and restore you in his image, to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, during this next song, we're going to ask children and Sunday school leaders to go through to Sunday school, and the rest of us will stand together and sing, There Is a Hope. Take your seats. Our reading today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 17, and starting at verse 20. Jesus is speaking here to his disciples, and he's just been praying for them, that God would be with them. And he goes on now to pray for us, for you and me. He's praying for future disciples. Jesus says this, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And as we reflect on that, let's sing together, "Across the Lands."
The Word of God, from before the world began, every star and every planet has been fashioned by your hand. All creation holds a word by the power of your voice, and the skies declare.
Standing just for a wee moment. I tried to get in there before you moved, but let's stay standing for a wee moment and again respond to everything that we've heard and everything we've sung as we share together our creed. Do you believe and trust in God, the Father who made the world?
I believe and trust in him.
Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ? I believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit who gives life to the people of God?
I believe and trust in him.
This is the faith of the church. This is our faith. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please take your seats. Before we unpack some of the things that we've been thinking about already today, we're going to sing again, but staying in your seats, our next song is He Will Hold Me Fast. Heavenly Father, just as you, your Son, and the Holy Spirit are one, help us be one with you and one with one another. Amen. So, how do you make a cake? What would you say are the three main ingredients in cake? And I'm looking at you. Some of you have clearly eaten cake before. So, what do you reckon? What do you reckon are the three? Flour,
butter,
egg,
sugar.
Yeah, flour. Now you've confused me, I even got it written down. You've got the flour, you've got the butter, you've got the egg, you've got the sugar. Good. You take the eggs and the fat and the sugar and you set them out all on the work surface and there you are. And they all look so different from one another. You could never confuse the egg for the sugar. I mean, that would just be nonsense. And yet, when you blend them, cream them and bake them, they become a new thing. They become cake. And it sounds so obvious. And I'm going to speak about cake for slightly longer than you think I ought to this morning. You can still, in the cake, you can still identify the key ingredients. You've got the binding of the egg, and you see the rising and the sponginess that only comes from the flour. And you've got the sweetness of the sugar, but now in their new cake state, they are one. If you cut a cake and see a lump of flour and you're able to identify it, I think we can agree that wouldn't be a good cake. You wouldn't really want to eat that bit. So although in this new cake state of oneness, you don't lose anything. The great qualities of the ingredients are still there. In fact, they're used to their fullness. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is not a cake. Yet, we call God one. And they are one, connected, interliving in a way that we'll never truly get our heads around. And at the same time, there's something about their oneness that allows us to see the greatness of God the Father, the beauty of God the Son, and the closeness of God the Holy Spirit. Look around you, physically, in this room. Look around you. Look at the people sitting in front of you, behind you, to the sides. We're so different. We're such a variety of ages, such a variety of personalities. You'll see the one in the room that's always quick with a joke. You'll see the one in the room that's always quick with a practical solution. And you'll see the one in the room that's always ready to make a plan of action, no matter what it is. And if you're looking around, you might see the one who's always a bit of hard work and it takes a bit of extra energy when you're speaking to them. If you're looking around and you can't see that person, it's you. So good luck with that. In this group, here and now, this group, us, we're who Jesus had in mind when he prayed. I pray that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. And why did he pray this? Well, he then prayed so that the world may believe that you sent me. Now, I asked two people before today if they would come and give me a hand. So can I ask my two non-volunteers to come forward? Right. I'm going to be open and upfront about everything. If one of you could come over here. One of you could come over here. I said I wouldn't make you speak, and I said I wouldn't drop you in it. That's true of one of you. Right, here's the... No. Actually, you're all right. It's him. We're going to play a game. I've got a penguin, the greatest of all biscuits. I'm going to put it in my hand, and you two will need to come a bit closer. The game is called Win at All Costs, Destroy the Enemy. I'm going to count down from five. And between five and zero, you've just got to take the penguin. The person who takes the penguin wins. The person who does not take the penguin has lost. If the penguin's still in my hand, when I get to zero, you can share it, but you've still both lost, okay? I have two penguins, but you're still lost. Ready? Win at all costs, the loser is the loser. That's an addition, that's a subheading to the game. Five, four, oh. Okay. Excellent. So, you changed the tone real fast. Ready? Good for you. Five, four. Excellent. Well done. No, that's it. You've won. Brilliant. Big round of applause for the winner. Can the loser... No. Oh, did you share him? Jonathan, come and join me a wee second. Now, just to be clear, did she give you one of the penguins? Right. Good. Now, before you sit down, do you have any news for us?
Yeah, just a wee bit.
What's your news?
I've got engaged.
Isn't that lovely? Yeah, so, congratulations, and I'll let you sit down now.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Excellent. sorry, I'm laughing. My hand's still sore. No, you were brilliant, don't be. Don't feel ashamed. Good. Since around the 1800s, we had something in this part of the world and in Europe and America, something called the Enlightenment. So in what we call the Western world, there was something called the Enlightenment. It changed. It was a period of great change for our thinking. And in the Western world, we've been hardwired, almost written into it, not quite, but almost as if it's written into our DNA, to think of ourselves as individuals. And it sounds silly when you say it out loud. Of course we're individuals. This is literally what we are, surely. In society, we value self-sufficiency, autonomy, and independence. We celebrate uniqueness and our own personal identities and our lived experience. And these are good traits to an extent. But have you ever heard anyone say to you, I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to cause you trouble. I just need to get my head down and get on with things myself. These ideas are normalized in our culture to the point that to be reliant on another person can be seen as a weakness. It can actually be seen as a flaw. In the West, when we describe ourselves, we tend to use personal traits in our description. I am artistic. I am goal-orientated. I may be sometimes a bit selfish, but I am this. In other parts of the world, and we could even say back in the day, pre-Enlightenment West, when people were asked or are asked about themselves, their answers are often more relational. I am a good husband. I am a good wife. I am a good son. I am a good fiancé. I am part of this community. The answers tend to be more relational. The rules of the game that we played a few moments ago, which was played perfectly, it's exactly the way it should have gone. The rules are the natural and polite rules of the society we live in. Take it, politely or not, take it, win. To decide to lose or to possibly look foolish or weak, even if it benefits the relationships between you and the people you love, is seen as foolish. Why would you give ground? There's no need. Sure, it's fine. One of the reasons we don't reach out in love to one another, there might be somebody in the church, there might be somebody somewhere who you know needs something. But one of the reasons we don't reach out is that it feels like we're crossing a boundary. It feels like we're imposing or being rude. We don't want to risk rejection or imposing. That's how hardwired it is to see ourselves as an individual. Now, I wonder if you believe whether or not prayer is effective. Is prayer worthwhile? Jesus thought it was worthwhile. That's why he prayed. And the reading that we had today was a prayer from Jesus. When he prayed that all of us may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, he did so believing that God would answer. One day Jesus' prayer will be answered and we will be one in Christ as he is one with the Father. And I think sometimes we have needless pain. Some pain is unavoidable. Sometimes we come across unavoidable pain rather because we resist oneness with one another. We'll never lose ourselves in a mass. We'll never lose our own characteristics. Our individual attributes reflect the attributes of God. And even those things that we sometimes describe as difficult, stubbornness or single-mindedness, I think that also reflects part of God's loyalty, God's own determination. And when we submit ourselves to God and say, I want to be one with my fellow believers, I want to give to them and I want to receive from them, we become more of what Christ has for us. And we become more of what Christ wanted for us that day when he stood and prayed before his first disciples. Do we have anyone here from our South African contingent? Okay, so I'm free to pronounce a word wrongly. There is a word used in South Africa and around called Ubuntu. The word is Ubuntu. And it's a South African word giving name to a vital part of our humanity. One of the ways the words can be summed up is with the phrase, I am well because you are well. I am whole because you are whole. I am because you are. Cut the cake and the egg, the butter, the sugar, all together, feel the knife. Decorate the cake and the egg, the butter, and the sugar, all of it looks great. They say that a mother is only ever as happy as her least happy child. Let us love one another like a family. Connected with one another simultaneously, as happy and as sad and as excited and as distraught as one another is. For this to be true, we will need a miracle, but we're in a good place because as a family, our Father is the Father of all miracles. And for us to be one, well, this is something that Jesus prayed for. So for us to come together and to look at one another and to decide we're going to give ourselves to one another is only what Jesus prayed for. So let's take a quiet moment now as we give these ideas to God. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your mysterious oneness with your Son and with the Holy Spirit. Make us one with you as you are one together. And Father, through the miraculous working of your Holy Spirit, and in the name of your dear Son, make us one with each other in all our contradictions, maybe even to the enhancement of our contradictions. We pray this believing that you are the one who hears and answers all prayer. And we also take now a quiet moment, Father, to pray a prayer of love for those sitting beside us, behind us, and in front of us. We pray for one another, believing in you, the Father of all miracles. Amen. Stay in your seats as we continue to worship together, and we'll sing, Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me.
my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to you. When the rain still lips shall repeat, not I, but Christ in me. When the rain still lips shall repeat, yet not I, but Christ in me.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for all the ways you have sown the seed of your kingdom in our lives, through the daily experience of your Spirit caring, guiding, renewing us, through the reading and study of your word, through the joy and beauty of music and worship and sacrament, through the love, understanding, and fellowship we enjoy in this parish church. Forgive us, Lord, for all the many times when the seed of your kingdom has failed to take root in our lives because of the shallowness of our faith, or because it was choked by the weeds of our indifference and selfishness. Clear away those weeds now, we pray, Lord Jesus, and sow again in our hearts the seed of your kingdom. Nurture it within us, Lord. Renew our enthusiasm. Deepen our commitment, broaden our vision. We give over to you every part of our lives, the wheat and the weeds, the successes and the failures, the good and the bad, and pray that you would take what we offer and fill it with your love. Open our souls to the power of your Spirit, Lord Jesus, that we might produce that harvest of gentleness and self-control, patience and kindness, goodness and love, joy and peace that you long to see growing within each one of us. In your name we ask it. Amen. Lord, we thank you for those special relationships that make life so much richer and more enjoyable. We thank you for parents, children, brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, close friends, those who share our lives at the deepest level, people who know us so well and yet still continue to offer their understanding and affection. We thank you for the love of those special people to whom we can unburden our heartaches and who strengthen us against ourselves, those people who delight in our successes and encourage us to rise from our failures. Lord, for these special people, for our family and friends, we pray now. May we always count those relationships as among the richest blessings of this life. May we always strive to keep those relationships strong and healthy. May we always seek to honor those relationships by treating all who love us with gentleness, compassion, and understanding. Protect us and those who share our lives from too easily making harsh judgments, and guard us all from the temptation of speaking cruel words that serve only to wound or belittle. Instead, Lord, fill our conversations with wisdom, patience, and honesty, and that selfless love that keeps no record of wrongs, that self-giving love that always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So may we and all who share our lives be held within the circle of your gentle love, now and always. In your name we ask it. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that in love you came to share in the trials and tribulations of this earthly life of ours, and on the cross you tasted the pain of injustice, cruelty, desolation, broken relationships, separation and death. So you know what it is to walk down the hard, stony road of suffering. Lord Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, our friend and our brother, we pray that you would draw close now to all who suffer, the sick, the lonely, the bereaved, the depressed, the anxious, and whisper to them, I too have known suffering. Embrace them in your arms, Lord, and encircle them with your grace. Breathe health into their bodies, love into their hearts, peace into their minds, and joy into their spirits, so that all who are in distress may find in you a true friend, one who understands and cares, and one who shares their anguish and pain. In your name we ask it. Amen. And now we join together in an act of fellowship by saying the words Christ taught us to pray. Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our time of worship and praise and talking and listening this morning. It's such an active time when we come together as one body. And thank you so much to the two of you who came and were volunteered on your behalf. That was very helpful. What we'll do now is we'll stand and sing our closing hymn together, and then we will stay standing for a closing blessing. Our closing hymn is Ancient of Days.
Rise.
as we go out together, I ask for your forgiveness. I misspoke. We're going to go out as God's people, and we're going to speak together, and then we will have one more closing hymn and then our blessing prayer. Let's say together, we go into the world. We go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. Be with us, Lord, as we go out into the world. May the lips that have sung your praise always speak the truth. May the ears which have heard your word listen only to what is good. And may our lives, as well as our worship, be always pleasing in your sight. For the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We sing together, My Worth is Not in What I Own. The God of hope, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who is one, make us who are all so different into the one body of Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.